you know, I heard a wise person once tell me, he says, there's a lot of people that pray for wisdom, but they don't recognize it when it arrives because it shows up wearing a pair of coveralls, work boots, and a price tag.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm
Grace. And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with our Experts Corner interviews with short-term rental investors willing to have a conversation and share the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the navigating all these roads that lead down to short-term rental investing. And so we've got Mr. Todd Parrish joining us today. So Todd, I appreciate you joining me.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Super excited about this conversation. We're going to have a good time. Always just appreciate people willing to come on, let people listen in on these conversations, because our goal is always to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open. And so we'll talk about the navigating the waters of setting up that, buying that first property, setting it up, getting it launched. But before we do, I always like to let people know who they're listening to and who we're having a conversation with. So let's start with your background, kind of what pays the bills, where's home, what does the family situation look like, and what got you interested ultimately in investing in short-term rentals?
Boy, that is a long story. I will make every effort to keep it brief. So for 15 years, I was actually a nightclub DJ. And so also working in with some companies with direct sales. So I was very familiar with Robert Kiyosaki and, you know, setting up assets and learning how to get something that would spit off cash, whether you're working or not. But I wasn't personally there or financially there, really. You know, years ago, 20 some years ago, I had made some decisions that, I had to file bankruptcy. And I take full responsibility for it, regardless of who all was involved and who got the house when it was all done. But moving forward, as a DJ, I knew that as I got older, that this wasn't going to be, this isn't a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. You know, working in the nightclubs, the pastor and the wife would certainly like for you to be there on Sunday. You know, the liver would like for you to not be there on Fridays, you know, right. All of those aspects. So, back in 2017, the opportunity came to retire from the nightclub life, and I did. And so moved into, industrial repair and maintenance, working for a company here in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm actually moved here from Indianapolis. I had family there and grew up in northern Indiana, about 10 minutes from Michigan. So I've kind of made its way. I keep going further mm-hmm. and further south, which is exciting. Even with the property, it's further south. So we keep moving towards the Gulf.
A little warmer weather. Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so working in industrial repair and maintenance, and one of the things that my wife and I had done, we had sat down and we had talked about doing a short-term rental, but it was mainly when we went on vacation. So she grew up going to some really exotic places as a kid. She was very come with a family. Was very blessed to be in a financial position with, you know, four other brothers and sisters where they could travel to really nice areas, rent homes, the really big homes. And when we started dating and then got married, I was able to go on a couple of those trips before her parents just weren't physically able to travel anymore. And so we had a couple of times go, man, it'd be really nice to have a place, not necessarily this big. This is, you know, 9-bedroom house. We were right. Just, you know, trying to think a little smaller. And so we had always kept an eye on things and trying to figure it out. And then we had done a trip to Branson. And we're like, you know, we really like it down here. This is a nice little area. And maybe we should entertain looking at something. But we weren't financially in a position to do anything. And then we continue to fast forward. And then one day I happened to be on Zillow and there was a property down there that they were doing a renovation on and that they were doing an exterior renovation, but they weren't doing anything on the interior. And so they were selling studio condos for $60,000 cash. They were doing 1-bedrooms for like 80. So I looked at my wife, I said, you know, maybe we should look into this a little bit deeper. And so literally we called the real estate agent that was showing it, said, hey, are you going to be there? And we hopped in the car and drove down. And that sort of started this year-long journey. It started in when was this? Oh, maybe it wasn't a year. Yeah, I guess it was a year. It was in 2023. We had gone down just before Easter, and our property that we were looking at, we started looking at retirement, maybe reallocating retirement and trying to find a way that, you know, that could spit off more cash than what it was generating in the IRA. Well, by the time this was on a Sunday, by Monday morning at 9 a.m., the real estate agent called and said, hey, all those properties are gone. Okay, well, I don't want to give up yet. And so, you know, our faith is very strong. And so we prayed about it and we looked at our finances, but we're like, hey, if this is something we want to do, we need wisdom. And so we certainly, for us, we prayed about wisdom and we were asking for it. And the YouTube algorithms heard our prayer apparently, because one of your advertisements had popped up, mainly because I started looking around and started seeking answers, like how does the short-term rental side of things work? How can you do financing? Our W-2s were not enough to support two mortgages. So yeah, that was where our biggest concern was. Our credit was good enough, but we didn't have the revenue from the banking perspective to be able to support two. I guess we'd probably have a better way to say it. And so then I started looking around on one of, it was a short-term rental. It's not the Empire Club, but it was one of the other.
STR Data Sense, maybe, or Five.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching your videos, and there was a spreadsheet that you had said, I tell you what, if you sign up over here, I'll make sure you get a spreadsheet to be able to start analyzing properties.
Yeah.
And I started looking through, and I looked at my wife. I said, maybe we need to look at what this guy's got going on, because, you know, we don't have the knowledge, but he does. And so if we can condense time frames, there could be some real value in the Vodacy group. And so that fast forwarded us to where we started learning about investment products that we could do that were based on the revenue of the property. As long as we had the down payment and the capital to hold the property until it was taking care of itself. And so that's when we started looking at, basically we liquidated some IRA funds, which most people don't recommend, but we liquidated enough to cover the down payment. And then we did a series of other things with HELOCs and stuff like that. And so, I mean, it was stressful, but we did the math. And even if we operate at the bottom of the market and it pays for itself, we know that there's going to be appreciation. We're going to get better at it. We know that this is a long game that we're playing. And so, it was a very long answer to a short question.
No, it wasn't. I appreciate the answer. And because when people listen to this, I think sometimes the misconception is that, hey, listen, we've got all kinds of money sitting in the bank and we just need to deploy it. And we're going to try to, you know, I've got all kinds of options and I got all kinds of financing. And that's not the case. The majority of real estate investors, especially, I mean, we're just average everyday people that are just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm not really buying into the old school way of thinking with the 401ks and the IRAs and everything else. And I look at the numbers and it's just not going to do it for me in retirement. I want to do something different. And you try to kind of figure out a way to do it. But you also said something that was, to me, a very tough and difficult position for a lot of people to be in and a decision for a lot of people to make, which is, We're asking for guidance. We're trying to figure out, like, which I believe there's the, you know, divine presence in all of us and the infinite wisdom that we can tap into through ourselves, other people, everything else. I'm a big believer in that as well, where you prayed for that guidance, but you know, all of a sudden we start showing up and the algorithm and everything else, and everybody else I'm sure does too. But when you're starting in a position, you're saying, hey, listen, I'm going to pull from HELOCs. I'm going to pull from IRAs. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then I'm also going to make a decision to pay kind of a lot of money to get some guidance on this stuff. And, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. I'm curious how you guys navigated that.
Well, it was interesting I heard a wise person once tell me, he says, there's a lot of people that pray for wisdom, but they don't recognize it when it arrives.
Yeah.
Because it shows up wearing a pair of coveralls, work boots, and a price tag.
Yeah.
And so that's what we sat down and we looked at it and we said, okay, so let's think about this. If we pray for wisdom and it shows up, there's a price tag. So we need to have skin in the game. And I'm okay with that because the value received is worth the price you pay.
Right.
And so we looked at that and we're like, look, we've got to put our boots on. We're going to have to go to work. There's no free lunch in this world and nobody's coming to save us. Right. Only one person actually came to save. And that's why we wear the cross. Right. And so my thing was, is we had to have a real moment where we said, is what we have in the IRA enough to allow us to retire? The answer was no. Do we generate enough revenue from our W-2 to contribute to the IRA to make it so that when we hit retirement, we can retire and actually be able to enjoy life, not just, go to the nearest fast food joint and pinch pennies to be able to just make it? And the answer was no. And I'm like, okay, so what we've done, I'm 47, she was 49, or I was 46, she's 49. What we've done in life up to this point, the cold, hard reality is, didn't work. Now, we've been fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time. We, learned about crypto in 2020, so that has netted some really nice returns. It's given us the opportunity to pay for some things. But at the same token, where we are in life is not where we want to be. So we're going to have to make some changes. So we actually sat down and go, okay, if the average return on an IRA is around 8% per year, how much revenue can we generate from the IRA as it sits over the next 5 years and 10 years? Then we go, how much revenue can we generate from a short-term rental if we base it on, we're going to remove, let's say, $60,000 in value from the IRA. We still have more than enough in there to continue to grow. And we take that value and turn it into $150,000 in value of property that is now spitting off cash. So that's how we had to look at it, is what are we spending money to buy a property, or are we reallocating funds to a different asset class that now spits off cash? And that's what we had to go in, is we had to think, how does a millionaire think? How does a billionaire think? And how can I stack my pennies next to their dollars? Right. And so trying to make those decisions, and it was a difficult decision, especially when you have family members that are they're the investment, they're the financial planner for the IRA. So there was some tough discussions that had to be made because it was very traditional. He's very good at what he does. He's been doing it a long time, but he's not an investor in other assets, that he stays very much within his knowledge realm. And so when we had discussed and said, look, here's the cold reality. We don't generate enough to add to it. We don't, all of this stuff. And he goes, well, when you lay it out that way, what you're doing makes sense. I understand why you're doing it, because now the property, you can get the property generating revenue. Because we had to sit down and we had to lay out a plan. Like, we are not pulling from this until we get to the end of the year. So then we can review all of our bills and then we can decide, where does the money go? Are we going to pull money out and apply to the IRA? Or are we going to keep it, because this isn't the only property. Our goal is to do more.
Yeah.
And so laying all of those things out, and we had to take the emotion out of it. And that was hard. That was very hard to take the emotion out of it. And it was a gut check to sit back and go, look, I'm almost 50 years old and retirement, I can see retirement coming and I don't have it. Right. I can, nothing against other family members, but I've got family members that, if it wasn't for Social Security, they'd be on the streets. Right. I don't want to be that.
Right.
And so those were all the realities we had to go in. And then we had to start getting creative. Thankfully, we had Vodacy team members to lean into. We had coaching that we could go, okay, how does this work? All right. So then there was the finance piece. Like, here's how you find a property. You find a good property in a good area, and on down through the list. And it was, we're just thankful that we had access to it, and we made the decision, and it wasn't an easy one. We actually put half of it on a credit card and had to wait for the HELOC to close in like 10 days and put the other half on, or be ready to use another credit card.
Yeah.
And so we had to get really creative, but then we were very diligent about sticking with the budget and following the process. And we had to liquidate some other capital that we had to make that work. But here we are 30 days in, and the property is starting to pay for itself. And so we're excited. We're very optimistic on how we move forward with all this.
Yeah. And I love your breakdown of that. One of the big, statements that you were talking about is how you guys processed it in your head of saying, are we liquidating an IRA to go spend the money, or are we liquidating to reallocate, right? Because that's really what you're doing. And you're being very, very disciplined about that reallocation and not saying, hey, listen, I'm going to try to use this money to go, up my life or up my financial abilities to go buy more stuff right now. You're saying, hey, listen, we're just going to put it in the investment bank account. And then we're going to decide at the end of the year, how did we do? Where do we want to allocate those funds, whether it's back into a different asset class, whether it's back into short-term rentals, because every asset class has pros and cons. And one of the things that, I have no doubt why you guys are having the success, and I always love these conversations. We're going to post Todd's property links in the show notes. You guys can go look at it. Success Leaves Clues. But there you made really – and I don't want to, to me, it's the right decisions, right? But they're still tough decisions when you're doing things different than everybody else is doing out there, right? In any sort of business game. Hey guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only 3 things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today. Consumers don't want better. They don't want improvement offers. They don't want, they don't want stuff to be better. They want new and they want different and they want something that is unique. And that's what we're trying to do with these properties. But also even that process is because it is different and unique and it doesn't look like this model home, which they do end up turning out like model homes, but not the traditional model homes, as you will, as far as design and everything. But really bringing these properties to life to tell a story is much different than what a lot of people are talking about, teaching, doing. And so it's hard to like look in the market outside of our Vodysey group and see any properties that look anything near like our properties, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, we were so my wife, she doesn't know a stranger. She makes friends everywhere she goes. So when we were doing the setup and getting things going with the property, if I didn't need her right then and there, she was a ghost, man. I turned around and she's gone. And then she would show back up. Oh, I met the owners of so-and-so. They're two doors down and one floor over. And oh, they're really, really nice. And so we'd go see their property and then they'd come in and see ours. And in the beginning, we were very much the same. We hadn't put any of the artwork up. Right. And they were doing model homes and they were gorgeous. They were, I looked at my wife. I said, these are amazing. And we would have had we still would have had to break out our checkbook, because they're putting nice stuff in these homes. And then when the artwork went in and then we started showing some of the neighbors, we noticed their personality changed just a touch. They were a bit blown away at we never thought that was possible. I never thought about doing that. Oh, wow. That stands off from the wall. Oh, that lights up. And you go through the different processes. And so, you're competing with model homes and they all look the same. They're all very nice places to stay.
Yeah. They're beautiful, right? It's not that any of these homes are, they're amazing. You walk in, you're like, man, I'd be happy to stay here. This is awesome. But the problem is they're a dime a dozen anymore. In a lot of these areas, because a lot of people are doing very nice model homes and it's a way where we're, we call it the Vodysey signature recipe. It's different and it stands out different. And right now it's kind of a hard pill to swallow for some people because they like, naturally the model home, but then when they see this stuff, they're like, oh, this is pretty cool. I like this. Right. And it brings it to life in a different way. And we do, the thing that I would like to like really put an exclamation point on, you know, this isn't a $3 million property on the lake, right? This is a nice, modest townhome, one bedroom property that we use the exact same dial-in recipe on that property as we do the $3 million properties on the lake. And so the guest has this same immersive experience to really bring the property in the area to life. And it just works out really, really well.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that we talked about going into this is we went and looked at as many of the signature properties as we could to get a feel for. And that was one of the concerns is, you know, my wife is like, these are really, really nice homes. I mean, these are 5 and 10 bedroom homes. These are on the canal in Miami and Tampa. And we're like, we're looking in Branson. Are we going to be able to do this? And I said, well, why don't, I mean, we had to guide it or dial it back because we started with the idea of a one bedroom. And then next thing you know, we're looking at 3 bedroom and 4 bedroom before Vodacy came along. And to my wife's credit, she says, I think we're getting off track here. We need to go back to what we started with. Let's start small. We know that we can get a property around $150,000 to $175,000. We know that we can handle all of the aspects. And then when we got introduced to Vodacy, we said, okay, if they're doing that for the really big properties, they're doing the custom artwork, they're doing the immersive experience, they're going over and above to give people a really memorable place to stay, mm-hmm. then let's just do it with the one bedroom. We'll lean into that and we'll do everything we can that they talk about. And then if it doesn't work, we did everything they said and we can go, they said to do it and it didn't work. We can't say that now because it's working quite well, actually.
So if it doesn't work, I need to tell Sean, hey, listen, dude, you told me to do this, right? And it's not working.
Right.
But yeah, and that's what we want you to do. Like it's saying, hey, listen, dial it in. And we know the recipe works. You know, it's not this isn't theory anymore. This is, I know Todd, you're preaching the choir talking to you about this, but you're surrounded by people doing this on a regular basis every day and you see the results. And so it's like, it's a little easier to bite off the idea of it when you're kind of surrounded by it, right? And you actually are seeing it on the front end. And it doesn't just seem like a guy talking online or listening to a podcast. But you're actually seeing other properties and the recipe works. And if it works on those big properties, you know, you know, I can guarantee you on the smaller properties, that consumer is very appreciative of it because they're not used to seeing that type of level of detail in those types of properties. I mean, the when somebody's spending $3,000 a night for a waterfront property in Tampa that you're doing the exact same thing in Branson on $175,000 property, you can imagine the guest experience. They're going to be blown away with that.
Yeah. The feedback we have received has been very favorable. And it was funny when we went into this, Mike, who does the design your experience stuff, helped with the artwork and just he was so amazing in helping dial this in so that we could really tell the story. He said they're gonna comment on the bed being comfortable. They're gonna comment on the infinity table in the living room, and they're gonna comment on there was one other thing I forget what it was, but. Sure enough, that's exactly what they commented. The first review said the infinity table was super cool. The bed in the bedroom was really comfortable. That's what it was. He said that they're probably going to complain that the hide a bed is not that comfortable. And he says, but no hide a bed or sleeper sofa ever is comfortable. And sure enough, our first official review said all of those things. Well, apparently he knows what he's talking about because there it is.
Right. Right. It's fun to see them come to life as well. And so, you know, again, we'll always post the links in the show notes. So take me through the launch. You just barely rolled over your first 30 days. First take me through how long did it take from closing to launch? Because that's another part of the process. Acquisition can be exhausting because usually when I'm teaching you how to underwrite, usually when we're looking at the numbers, we're like, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to find a property that works. Right. And so, at times you're just underwrite and you say no to 90% of them. But I always tell people, would you rather say no to 90% of them? Or would you rather me tell you that 30 or 40% of them work and then you find out they didn't work 3 or 4 months later after you buy it, right? And so there's a lot of patience and diligence that happens during the acquisition. The setup is extremely exhausting. It is short-lived, but it's not, at times it doesn't feel short-lived. So I'm curious how long that process took.
So for us, we, interestingly enough, when, during the looking for properties, we went down several weekends in a row looking at properties. This started at Easter, around Easter weekend in 2023. Okay. And we started looking at properties. We went down on one Saturday and looked at like 21 or 22 condos in the Branson area, trying to get a feel for it. Yeah. Interestingly enough, we ended up settling in the condo complex that our real estate agent told us to go look at the first day we went down there, telling us they're doing a full renovation inside and out. It's right on Tanicomo Lake. It's within walking distance of, you know, the landing. We went down and looked and we were like, ooh, these are going to be way out of our price range. These look really, really nice. I don't know that this is going to work. And we never looked again. But we kept looking and kept looking. And our real estate agent says, have you guys been, did you guys ever go there? Yeah. Why don't you meet me there? I want to show you the property. And we walked in and we were like, well, what's a one bedroom running for? He goes, 150. It was fully renovated, all new appliances. Now, I'm not saying that this always works out, but it was just one of those moments where, you know, you preach good property, good area, you know, all of the accoutrement that comes with it is important. And so that started, we signed the contract in June of 2023, but the renovations kept getting delayed because of inspections. And so we didn't actually close until 12/27 of 24. And and so we like doing a little side note. We like doing, some people call it gematria or whatever. It's like the numerology things. So what we figured up was 12/27/24 all divisible by the number 3. If you add those numbers that are divisible by 3, they add up to 27. If that's right, yeah. Is that 27? Is that what it was? 3339? Anyways, my wife knows it. But it basically boiled down to, oh, no, it's 21. That's what it was. It was 21. My apologies. I didn't have my notes here. I've been trying to remember. Right. It comes out to 21. Well, if you take 21, divide it by 3, it comes out to 7. So you have 7/7/7 is the date. And so we were like, well, see, there, it's divinely inspired proof.
There you go. There
and
you
so go. So anyways, that was the fun little thing. But we signed at the just after Christmas in 2024, and then we had to wait 2 weeks to get our consult with Mike to figure out what's the story going to be. The only thing we knew was we wanted to incorporate a waterfall. That was it. And the only reason is because the creek that actually goes past our property and dumps into the lake, if you, there's a path that you can walk. It's a really long walk, but you can drive the shortcut, and it's called Waterfall. It was Waterfall Trail. And it was this gorgeous waterfall. And so we knew that we wanted to incorporate that. That was it. And so Mike, you know, he spent, I don't remember how many hours we were on the phone with him. It was several hours dialing it in, asking questions, offering suggestions. Thankfully, he was actually working on another property, another Vodacy member on the first floor, and he was offering some suggestions on things to do, not to do, things that work, things that don't work. And it, that was very, very helpful, just letting us know where to dial in. And so that started the process of we started ordering all of the furniture, all of the artwork. We got everything ordered, and I don't think it showed up until early February. And so we did all of the work ourselves. We only did the consult with Mike, and then we ordered everything and installed everything ourselves. We spent, I think it was every weekend for 2 months, driving from St. Louis to Branson, which it's, you know, 3.5 hours one way. I'm very familiar with all of the ins and outs of Buc-ee's that's right there in Springfield. You turn, go south. And so
famous Buc-ee's.
Yep. And so anyways, but it took us 2 months to get everything set up and get the artwork installed and all of the little nuances. But the things that I also learned was sometimes it's better to pay the professionals to do something for you than to try and do it yourself. And I'll use an example. So I built the swing set that's on the back porch, and then I built the coffee table that's in the living room. Now, had I just paid somebody, it would have probably been more expensive monetarily, but time-wise, it would have been a lot shorter. And so that was the thing is, okay, what's my time actually worth now? Right. And I sat down and did the math. I go, this was actually more expensive. It was a fun project. I enjoyed doing it. It's neat to be able to say that I did that. But it was a difficult process, and it required me to improve myself as a husband. And what I mean by that is there were things that my wife was not fully persuaded on. She wasn't necessarily fully persuaded on the extent of the artwork. She wasn't necessarily fully persuaded on some of the other items to really give that as Mike calls the algorithm to create it. And so it required me to pick and choose the battles. It required me to do my homework and present the information in an intelligent, calm manner, allow her time to marinate on it. And it didn't seem like at the time, but it definitely strengthened our relationship and improved our ability to communicate. And ultimately we had to keep going back. Like you said, what's your property goals?
Yeah.
Our property goals are not, this is not something we, this is a purpose built short-term rental, full stop. And this isn't this, if we never stay there because people, other people are enjoying it, we're fine with that. And that's what the goal was. So we had to go back to what our property goals were and lean into our property goals and say, look, this is our goal. We want to operate at the top of the market. And I pulled up AirDNA and I went to the properties and I said, look, these properties are operating at the top of the market and look what they're doing. We want to do that. Like you said, success leaves clues. So that's what we did is we had to lean into that. But it required me to work on my negotiating skills. So it really helped us work together on so many different levels. But we're not going to Branson anytime soon. We're kind of full
for a little while. Those road trips, so you're fine. We're not making it for now, right?
Yeah, not right. We'll wait until the slow season. We'll go down to visit again. But it was challenging, but it was very rewarding because when we got done, it was like we did it. Look, we did it. How neat is this? And we had to keep it a secret from a lot of the family, just because there wasn't a buy-in. And one of the concern was is. Vodacy does things very unique. Anybody who's paid any attention to some of the properties, it's very unique from anybody else. And it's difficult to sell the vision before it happens. So we were like, why don't we wait until we get the real photography, we get the ad legit, and then we go, this is what we did. This is what we've been so quiet about. And then the response was speechless. We didn't get any. We got a little negative pushback because they were concerned, obviously, about our financial position that we might be in. But at the same token, we didn't have to share the vision. We just showed them pictures, and they went, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's awesome. And it's fun because it is hard. It is really hard. I've done a lot of fix and flips early in my career, and I would never let people look at the properties until I was done with them. It's kind of that same situation. It's like, listen, I'm going to show you the finished product, but I'm not really showing it off in the middle of everything, right? And showing you what we're doing, because you're right. It's hard to articulate what that vision is going to be until they can actually just internalize the vision by seeing it in real life and in person. And even after you were done, like you mentioned, just taking your photos with your phone is not going to sell the vision until you get that real lifestyle photography and it's why we do what we do. Cause the consumer is making that same, they're going to have that same, jaw dropping, speechless reaction when they see that versus the other options available. Consumers have a lot of options. And so it hit the market. Tell me a little bit about the launch and kind of what we're projecting out. How close do you feel like your projections are going to be compared to what you underwrote? Based on the launch, and I know we're only 30 days in, but that you'll have a good idea based on how you launched out. What do you feel like the performance is doing?
So right now, according to our property manager, we're averaging about 140 a night, but our occupancy is between 65 and 70%. Seems to be where it's lying, and where we projected it was at 50% at $149 a night. So we're real close. Okay. Our break even point is 40% at like $125 a night or something like that. I have to go look at my numbers, but that was the other thing when we were underwriting this is we said, look, we've never done this before. This is our first property. We need to put some buffer in there where it give us time to screw this up. And so we needed to make sure that we had enough revenue to cover the property for as close to a year as we possibly could. So let's assume nobody rents this thing for a year. And then we need to do the numbers based on near the bottom of the market, like the economy and budget range from AirDNA, and then looked at what the overall average was. And so we ran the numbers at a break-even point where we felt comfortable. There was a number of other properties we really liked, even in the same complex, but we couldn't get the numbers to align where we felt comfortable. We would have had to have operated towards the top of the market from day one.
Right.
And we just didn't feel comfortable with that. So the launch has been going really well. We're going to make some adjustments to the pricing. Hopefully they're going to take heed to the getting the reviews procedure that you guys have sort of ironed out over the years. And we're hoping that that will increase as time goes on. I know that we're going to bump it up. She was doing some comparables between another Vodacy member in the property, in the complex, and then somebody who did a very unique theme. They leaned into an artist theme in our property. They did a nice job. I think if they were a Vodacy member, they would have knocked it out of the park with the custom artwork as opposed to having to paint this mural on the wall. But with that being said, she did some comparables and we were way too far below them. And so we're going to bump it up another 15% to 20% just to be a little bit closer. But yeah, things are moving in the right direction. Like I said, we ran the numbers to come really close to break even. So we felt comfortable with it. And then our hope is that it far exceeds our original goals. And then we can make some adjustments after the first of the year.
Yeah, I love the conservative approach to it. I think it's super smart. Budgeting, like you said, almost a full year. I always tell people a minimum of 6 months, usually around 9 months. Just make sure you've got you can cover the property expenses. You're not going to have to do that in most cases. But for that one-off case that you have to have something like that, you want to make sure you're prepared for it, right? And you know, and you're seeing you're not going to have to do that either. You're going to be coming out of the gates and hopefully maximizing a little bit better. One thing I would suggest, don't jump up by 15 or 20% right out of the gate. Always jump up like 5% at a time for every week or two that you're on the market. And especially during the launch, you don't want to lose any of that momentum. But you are leaving some money on the table right now during the launch. It is what it is. We make those adjustments, right? That's all, the name of the game with the launch is to get that momentum, get those bookings, get those reviews coming in. And by doing so and all these adjustments we're making, you do leave a little bit of money on the table. And so I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States, teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live two-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today. Ultimately, we want to kind of hit that optimize phase, you know, 6 to 9 months in, and we start to really like kind of get hit our stride, and you start to hit those higher numbers. But when you've got direct comps that you know are getting more money right now, and you're a very close comparison to the properties you're looking at, for sure you want to try to make sure you jump it up, because you don't want to leave money on the table if you don't have to, right? And so it's absolutely making those adjustments.
Yeah, we went in and looked. I think it was the end of July. We went and looked at the end of July and we looked at a couple other properties, and the Vodacy member property was $200 a night average, $200 a night. The other property we were talking about that did a nice job for not being a Vodacy member, they were $160 and were $140.
Okay.
And so she's gonna bump it up to be a little bit closer to the other non-Vodacy member property and let that ride for another probably 30 days or so. And then I think we're gonna do another review. That's the only reason I think we were saying is 15 to 20% was because we were so far below what some of the other comparables were. And so we're just gonna kind of bump it up a little bit. When to answer your launch, we went live in the middle of May. And I think we were live for, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 days, and we had 7 bookings. Yeah. And that's when I reached out. I go, "Is that normal?" I was like, "Are we on track? Are we over? Where are we supposed to be?" And so it's been staying. We usually get we've been getting 1 booking about every 1 to 3 days.
That's awesome.
And we've been staying pretty consistent.
At that pace, you'll run out of nights to book, right? Because if your average booking is 3 nights, let's say it's 3 and a half nights, which is pretty average in those areas. Let's say it's a 3-night booking. If you're getting 2 a week, you're basically every 7 days you get 2 bookings at 3 nights. You're basically 100, you're 95% occupied, right? And so it ends up, you run out of nights to rent at that pace. So it's a great launch. And you want to do that in the very beginning because you do have an more open calendar. But as those nights start to fill in, then we start to capitalize, raise those rates, make sure we're getting the dollars that we need to on the nights that are available. It's awesome. I love it. And it makes me so happy, Todd, hearing these stories. I love these conversations, but you said so many things that I took nuggets from. One of the things that you mentioned too was going back to your property goals. And I just want to hit an exclamation point on that. We follow the same blueprint process with a lot of investors in Vodacy, but the property goals are the North Star, the guiding light when you have to make decisions and what you're doing and how you're doing it, right? And you said, "Hey, listen, this is a purpose-built short-term rental, end stop, right? It's like that's what we're doing. That's what we're building." And you were able to, because you had a clear property goals and a clear vision of exactly what you guys were doing with this, it made some of those decisions along the way easier because you could lean back on that when you had multiple choices to, roads to run down or decisions to make. And it's something that so few people do that we try to put so much emphasis on the front end. And a lot of people want to skip through that. It's like, "Hey, I don't need to plan this out. I don't need the property goals. I just want a property, right? I just want to start running numbers. I want to start making offers. I want to start setting this thing up." But it is, you're going to make decisions along the way. And it is nice to be able to go back and reference, like, really, why am I doing this, right? Like, what is my ultimate goal so I can make the right decision along the way? So I appreciate you sharing that as well. So as you look back and also looking forward for the next stuff, is there, if you go back to your younger self, give yourself a piece of advice. The last questions I always ask people is, what would you tell your younger self? What lesson do you want to make sure you remember going forward on that next acquisition or that next move?
So one of the things that I learned was, when you're running the numbers for the average dollar amount per square foot, that is just the furnishings in the property. That doesn't include photography and artwork. That was a minor mistake on my end. I thought, that's what it takes to furnish it, which includes the artwork. So for the next one, we're going to be very clear on the artwork, and we have a good feel for how much we want to spend. And, sometimes the artwork is required to be really wild and over the top, and other times you can still lean into the Vodacy way of doing things and you can be a little bit more reasonable. But for me, that was one thing, was to make those notations and plan for that and use this property as the guidepost. So if we know that this is how much we spent on the artwork for a 600 square foot one bedroom and we're looking at a 3,000 square foot home, all right, well, let's figure up those numbers. I think the other thing that I learned was try to, if at all possible, try to budget in to hire a team to do certain aspects, such as moving furniture in, like call around and find a furniture mover. That was a lesson that I learned, not because we had to do it. We were like, "I don't think we can physically carry some of this stuff." And so making sure we budget in to do more of that. For us, it was do the artwork first, then bring all of the furniture in. We brought all the furniture in, got it all in place, liked it. Then we ordered the artwork and then realized, oh, we have to move all the furniture to put all the artwork up. Yeah. And so we had to do it twice. Yeah. And so that was another thing that it was a learning lesson. And then last, to my wife's credit, is she says, we're not in a hurry, so let's not rush anything. And then we're not saying that, you know, sometimes when those of us in faith, if it's difficult, it must not be so. That's not always the case. Many times the difficulty is what is needed for the lesson you need to learn. And so when the property was, I mean, we signed in June, we didn't close till the end of December. And so there was a lot of people that were, you know, having full on out of body experiences, and we're being all super chill about it because we're not in a hurry, right? I mean, we're not paying a mortgage. And so that was the other thing is don't be in a rush. Launch it when it's done.
Yes.
Make sure it's right. Yep. Cause I'm very much a one and done person. I want to do it one time. I want to do it right. And then be done with it. And so that we've learned, there are some little things. I think we're going to make some tweaks, on the next property, but I think spending time in the budgeting and acquisition and finding the property and then not being in a rush. Cause that was one thing I had seen a couple of other members that were freaking out because they hadn't budgeted enough to cover the property while the artwork was being taken care of and while the furniture was showing up, and then they were just doing the good enough launch, and now they're struggling because they're having to overcome the algorithm that buried them while they weren't ready. And those were some lessons that we learned just being on the calls, just reading through the comments and reaching out and having access to the team of experts within Vodacy. I mean, it's been invaluable. You know, like I said, we have nobody else to go to. Nobody else that we know is doing this. The only people we do know is we had a family member that did it, but their property goals were different than our property goals. They wanted a place in Florida, and they wanted short-term rentals to pay for it. And then once it was paid for, they took it off and moved in 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And that's not our property goals. And so that was the thing we also had to lean into. And I said, the property goals aspect and budgeting, all of that. I know it's a very long-winded, but all of that was so important for the next property, is to just take our time, run the numbers. And if it doesn't fit within good property, good area, and the numbers don't fit, don't force it.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't force it. If you try to force it, you're going to be in so much trouble.
Exactly. You can't fix that problem, right? There's a reason why we say there's three things you have to dial in. One is the right property in the right location. That's step one. If you screw that up and you didn't do the right one, it doesn't matter if you have a great experience for a target audience. It doesn't matter how great your marketing is. You don't have a good product, right? And you don't have the potential in the market to make the money you need to. So if the numbers don't line up, you just say, hey, listen, it doesn't work, and we're going to keep looking. I love that. And I love that you brought up, because this is something that I make the mistake of doing, even when I am talking about furnishings and budgets, is, oh yeah, you're going to be $25 a foot for certain, you know, furnishings, right? Well, that, you know, in somebody's mind, I might be talking about the case goods and the sofas and the beds and everything else, but you have another $10 or $15 a foot for artwork, and you have another X amount for accessories, right? And so, yeah, it's understanding what that all in budget is. And, you know, and like I said, I'm guilty of it, of talking about furnishing a property. And at times, sometimes I talk about an all-in budget at 40 or 45 bucks a foot. Other times I'm talking about case goods at $25 a foot. And I have to make sure that I catch myself and be more clear, because it can be, as a new investor, and if you're budgeting $25 a foot and it's $45 a foot, it's a big difference in the budget. It's doubling your budget almost, right? And, and so really understanding that. And then I totally agree with you of not being, take the time to do it right, do it once, launch it when it's ready, and not be in a rush to do something halfway. Because I always say, really in anything in life, not just our short-term rental game, but when you're running down any road, you have a fork in the road and make a decision on how you want to tackle anything. You can take the easy road and try to get something done quicker, push the easy button. And usually that road is easier and quicker in the very beginning. but it gets way harder down the line. Or you choose the road less traveled, that's a little bit more difficult and more work, and you have to roll up your sleeves and everything else like we talk about, and it's going to take a little bit more time. But because you chose that road, down the line, the road gets way, way easier. And so and it almost applies across the board to any decision you're making. Of you choose the easy road in the beginning, it's going to get harder. You choose the harder road in the beginning, it's going to get easier. And so it's something, and I think that that's a really good lesson to learn and advice. And man, Todd, you know, you and I, we can keep talking and talking, but I know how valuable your time is. I know the people listening, how much they appreciate these conversations. I want you to know how much I appreciate these conversations and people just willing to get on and talk about the journey into it. And so other people can listen in, because you just never know who's listening, who wants to hear it, walk into this game with their eyes wide open. Ultimately, that's always our goal here at Vodacy. And we appreciate you being a part of the Vodacy family and allowing us to be part of your journey and now letting other people listen into it. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate getting an opportunity to share. Like I said, we have a slightly different, you know, I want to say that our story sort of mirrors with a lot of people that want to get into it. Yeah. They just don't know that it's possible. And that was for us. We had no idea that it was even possible for us to operate in this market at this level, because everybody that I had run into had an income that could support owning multiple properties, whether they short-term rented it or not. And so it was just neat to be able to do that. And it couldn't have been possible without you and the team of people and just the other members in Vodacy that have sort of been there and done that. So we certainly appreciate you for even starting it and doing all of this and all of the hard work and time and money and effort and sweat and tears that you've spent over the years of doing this. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Todd. And it's my pleasure to be a part of the journey. And it's been so fun for me as well. And so you guys listening, I know how valuable your time is. We appreciate you spending it with us. And I know you guys like these conversations as much as I do, because you give me feedback. And so you guys know we don't run sponsorships or ads on the show. The only thing that we get is your guys' feedback. Share the show if you know somebody else that would like to be a part of these conversations. Those things help us. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it like you guys always do, and let us know what you like, what you don't like, and we'll make sure that we keep having the conversations that you like. And I know these ones are the ones of your favorites, right? And so we'll keep doing them, and we appreciate it. We will be back next Wednesday for our Whiskey Wednesday, and then Friday we'll do another interview. And then at the end of every episode, I ask you that one favor, the most important things. Pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.